Yo, what is up, everyone? Welcome to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Monday, October 11th, 2021. And I am Chip, I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and Pandora. If you'd like to watch us, we're over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football, so please do me a favor, hit subscribe so you don't miss any more episodes. And on today's episode, I'm reacting to all the Week 5 matchups. A lot of crazy and good games that happened yesterday. And on top of that, too, guys, I finally won my first game of the season. If you've been listening throughout the weeks, I have been struggling to find my first win. I haven't been scoring a lot of points. My team was just not clicking. I had some guys blow up, some guys not. But finally, everything came together yesterday. And finally got my first win of the season. And I did it in, you know, good fashion too. Like I scored the most points throughout the whole entire week with amongst all my league mates, and scored the second most points of the season so far. And it just, I knew that my team had potential, but I just was not seeing it. You know, yesterday did not start off very well. I woke up yesterday morning to the news that Dalvin Cook was not going to play. So that was frustrating, but you know, I had to pivot. And so, I mean, my roster, I have Josh Allen. He blew up, obviously, last night. I had started Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Dawson Knox because I just want to... That offense is the best offense in football right now, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, when your back's against the wall, you have to find anything, any formula that helps you win. And other than the Stephon Diggs, I mean, Josh Allen and Dawson Knox continue to be a very good tandem. So that worked for me yesterday. Antonio Brown, he blew up yesterday. I had Cortland Sutton finally do something yesterday. Mike Williams continues to be a stud. He had a, you know, a dud game last week, but he did awesome yesterday. And then, you know, I got some pretty good games out of, you know, Daryl Henderson. You know, he got a touchdown. Damian Williams got a touchdown. Couldn't be mad about that. And so, I mean, just, you know, things went my way, yesterday, and I'm grateful for that. Finally, I get a win. So, you know, I go to 1-4. I'm still last in the division, but you know, with my team, some of my opponents had some injuries as well. My team so far, other than Dalvin Cook, has been fairly healthy. So it's a different Monday morning than the last, you know, month or so. So, it was good to finally get that win and finally, be the last person, without a win. So it's finally nice to have a win. So with that being said, let's go into some of the news. A lot of injuries took place yesterday and a lot of known names got hurt. Let's start off with Saquon Barkley. So Saquon Barkley, if you had watched the game, he rolled his ankle and he didn't get hit or anything like that. If you saw the play, he just was looking the other way. He rolled up on one of the defender's ankles or on their foot and rolled his ankle. And this is your typical inversion ankle sprain. Most people who have played basketball or have rolled their ankle, this is a type of injury that you get. It's still unclear on how much time he'll miss. You know, the Giants are considering him week to week, and which is obviously depending on the grade of sprain. This is typical. You know, everyone's so worried about the level of swelling you had when the telecast had focused on his ankle. You know, that's what you get. If anyone's throwing their ankle really bad, has seen their ankle blow up like this as well, it's typical, especially if you had sprained your ankle for the very first time. All that micro trauma happens to the ankle, it's going to happen. You know, so what he's going to have to do, you know, he's going to have to elevate it. He's going to have to, you know, maintain range of motion, ice it down. You know, there's a small chance he can play this week, but it's probably not likely. You know, we still are waiting for results. He could have a higher grade ankle sprain. So he's looking at a 2 to 6 week time frame based on the severity of the sprain. So he will not play this week in week 6. He will play possibly in week 7. And I'm not completely sure when their bye week is. But, you know, I doubt if it's really bad, then they'll wait until after the bye week. But it just sucks for Saquon Barkley. It just sucks that he can't stay healthy. That was nothing that he could have done. He was just looking the other way and rolled up on someone's foot. It's freaky. And some players just deal with freaky accidents and injuries like that. And hopefully he'll come back quicker and then still be beneficial for your fantasy roster. And then last night, if you watched the Chiefs-Bills game, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he got rolled up on, and diagnosis is on Monday morning is that he'll miss a few weeks due to an MCL sprain. So that obviously sucks for if you're a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner. Darrell Williams will be the guy that will be the backup for him. So he will be a waiver wire add for in my podcast for tomorrow. He had a couple good games, and then he wasn't playing awful last night. But it sucks to see a guy get injured that's a starter on a good offense. But hopefully he'll be able to come back in a few weeks. My guess is he'll go on the short term IR and hopefully be back. Shortly. Juju is going to miss the rest of the season because of a shoulder injury. It looked like he dislocated his shoulder on Sunday, and they weren't able to reduce it back on the sideline. So he had to go to the hospital to get that taken care of. So he will miss the remainder of the season. I think he had surgery last night, and so he will not play the rest of the season, which if you're a Claypool owner or the Deontay Johnson owner, that's going to be something that's going to up their target share. So that will benefit them. But, hopefully Juju has a speedy recovery. And then going on to the Arizona Cardinals, tight end Max Williams suffered a knee injury yesterday. That's going to be season ending. So he's out for the remainder of the season. So it sucks for, it just sucks for them too, because he was coming on pretty strong as a tight end for the Cardinals. Something that Kyler Murray was relying on. They got some really good weapons. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing. Do they trade for somebody? How this affects the passing game overall. So hopefully he has a speedy recovery as well. And then this was a very interesting, I have never seen this before, but Joe Burrow, he left the game and he had a throat contusion. So he had to get some observational care to kind of see exactly what happened with him. But it seemed like it was just a precautionary measure, and he's absolutely fine. He left the hospital last night, but I've never seen someone go to the hospital for a throat contusion. I mean, that stuff happens all the time in games, and it was just interesting to see something like formal like that, where he was being checked out the hospital because of that. So he should be fine. He'll play, in week six. His teammate, if you had picked us up Samaje Perine on waivers this past week, he had a good game. He dealt with most of the work. Mixon did have a touchdown as well, but all the passing game went to Perine, and now he's placed on the COVID-19 list. So I don't know the status of these players. I don't know exactly how long they'll be out based on their precautionary measures for each team and what the NFL does for COVID-19 players. I doubt he'll play in week six. So that means that Joe Mixon, hopefully he's healthier, that he can take the workload. But it just sucks if you had paid money for him and then he's now going to be out probably in week six. And then lastly, based on the reports that out of Miami, head coach Brian Flores had said that Tua should be able to practice this week. Doesn't necessarily mean that he will be back this week, but it looks like he will try to give it a go to practice. Which is good news, because honestly, I mean, when he was a quarterback, you saw a lot of Jalen Waddle doing well. That passing game seemed to be a lot more in tune when he was the quarterback. So you saw what happened yesterday with the Bucs and the Dolphins, where the Bucs have a horrible, horrible secondary. They're like last in the league, and they only were able to score 14 or 17 points yesterday. But it's just one of those things where, I think the Dolphins are anxious to get Tua back. So that's all the news as of right now. And if there's anything that gets updated, I'll update that on tomorrow's podcast when we do the waiver show. But let's go move on into the top plays for week five. And let's go ahead and start off with the fastest ball carrier. This was an interesting one. So Jalen Reagor of the Eagles, he ran 21.74 miles per hour, and he did it in a 22-yard punt return. I don't know. That sounds crazy to me, but that seems like a very short amount of time to get that fast. So kudos to him. Well, not acceleration, because I mean, for him to go a short distance like that and get up to 21.74 miles per hour, I mean, that's crazy to me. So he was the fastest ball carrier yesterday. Now that's pending what happens on Monday Night Football tonight. The longest play, this goes to Ja'Marr Chase. So Ja'Marr Chase, he had a 70-yard touchdown reception. He had to run 103.2 yards to get that. So that's crazy. 33 more yards just to score a 70-yard touchdown reception. So Ja'Marr Chase continues to look good. He continues to be the rookie that everybody wanted. He scored, I believe, a touchdown in, what, 4 out of 5 games now. So he's been doing awesome. And then the fastest sack, this came from Derwin James of the Chargers. He's able to sack the quarterback in 2.64 seconds. So last week, I believe we had a sack that was less than 2 seconds. So crazy that this was the fastest sack, but Derwin James was the one who got that. Now let's look at the improbable completion for week 5. So this is the play that gets has the smallest probability of completing. And that went came from Jameis Winston to Marquez Callaway. So if you had watched that game before halftime, Jameis Winston threw up a prayer to the end zone on a Hail Mary. And so Marquez Callaway came down with it. It was a 49-yard touchdown reception. And I only had a 9.9% completion probability. So, I mean, crazy to see that. But it's always fun to see Hail Marys get caught in the end zone before a half. You know, it's because it's a very unlikely thing to happen, but it happened yesterday and it was cool to see. And lastly, we're going to be going to the remarkable rushes. So this is a stat that where a runner will have a certain expected yards and then rush over expected. So yesterday, Aaron Jones, he ran the ball total of 57 yards, but on that play, he had only had expected rushing yard of -1, and then he was able to run 58 yards over expected. So he took a negative gain and made it a 57-yard gain. So Aaron Jones, that was the top remarkable rush for this week. And all these stats are all provided by Next Gen Stats. So it's just always fun to see the top plays each week and give credit to players that usually don't get the credit all around the NFL. All right, so that is it. So let's go ahead and go to my reactions to all the games for this week. So we're going to start off with the Bucks and the Bucks and Dolphins, right? So the Bucks won this game 45-17, and this game did not start off as I had thought. This game, you know, it ended the way that I thought it was should have started, but you know, the Dolphins came out playing, man. The Dolphins, you know, the Bucks have a, like I said, they have one of the top rush defenses, but they're last in passing. And so, like, it was getting a little frustrating in the beginning of the game. I mean, Myles Gaskin, you know, what's frustrating about this, I had dropped Myles Gaskin for Damian Williams this past week in waivers. And Myles Gaskin, you know, and he had a bad matchup against the Bucks. Everything on paper did not favor Gaskin. And he goes out there and has a career day. They use him like everyone thought he would get used. And doing it against a team that's very good against the run, they use him as a wide receiver. And, you know, honestly, I mean, this game was not going well. And then finally in the second quarter, the Bucks turned it on. Antonio Brown had a massive game. But, you know, Tom Brady, he, you know, another historical game for him. He threw it for over 400 yards. He threw it for 411 yards, had 5 touchdowns. And what the interesting thing about this was is that this is the first game in his career that he has passed for over 400 yards and 5 touchdown passes. And for some reason, the first thing that came to my mind, like, what did he do against Randy Moss when they went undefeated? Like, you would have thought that would happen in that year, but no, this is the first time. So even Tom Brady at 44 years old, being in the league for 20 something years, this is the first time he's ever done this. So very interesting. And it was kind of cool to see that. Like I said, Myles Gaskin, not much of a rusher yesterday. He only had 5 carries for 25 yards. He did lead the backfield for the Dolphins. But where he did his damage was as a wide receiver. He had 10 targets. He had 10 receptions for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, this is, you know, the Bucs are so good against the run is that the opposing offenses know that if they just do quick drop passes and like quick slants or whatever, they may not have a rushing game, but they know they can neutralize that defensive front by doing quick passes like that. So it benefited them yesterday. Myles Gaskin was the lead target, you know, share leader there for the Dolphins. for the Bucs. Leonard Fournette, 12 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown. He's the starter. Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette just looks good. He looks a lot better than Ronald Jones. He's more reliable than Ronald Jones. And he's a little bit of a better pass catcher than Ronald Jones. So I think Leonard Fournette it's his starting job. And then Giovanni Bernard comes in there and does his third down work. And he got a touchdown yesterday as well. For the Bucs, from the wide receiver standpoint, great game from Antonio Brown. 7 receptions for 124 yards and 2 touchdowns on 8 targets. Evans was 6 for 113 and 2 for on 8 targets as well. And then Chris Godwin gave you 7 for 70 on 11 targets, which I watched this game in completion and it was weird. 11 targets for Chris Godwin didn't seem like it was there, but looking at the stats, he was the lead target share leader or holder there. So that was my thoughts about the Bucs game. The Bucs, you know, are going to 4-1. They lead the division. They go and play Philadelphia on Thursday night, which I'm kind of nervous about because of the ability that the Eagles have with Jalen Hurts, and the Levante David, our linebacker, got hurt in this game, so he will not play in Thursday night. And so we're going to be down 2 starting corners. We'll be down Levante David. We already have a really bad pass defense, so it makes me nervous. So hopefully Richard Sherman can step up again and whatnot. But, you know, when we're missing our top linebacker, our top outside linebacker in Levante David, and then you're talking about missing some corners still, this is a trap game on Thursday night and I'm kind of nervous about it, but we'll see what happens. All right, now let's go to the London game, the Jets versus the Falcons. I did not watch this game. I was sleeping. I was not waking up early. I live on the West Coast. I was not going to wake up at 6:30 to watch this game. Didn't really have a lot of, I had no fantasy relevancy in this game in a sense of like who I was playing, but Zach Wilson continues to look like garbage. He continues to sit on my bench. I almost played him over Mac Jones because of the matchup, but I'm glad I didn't. Matt Ryan, he looked good. 342 yards and 2 touchdowns. Michael Carter, he looked good. He was 10 for 38 with a touchdown. He gave you another 3 receptions for 20 yards. He's the starter. I think we can start thinking about Michael Carter being a flex play every week now. It took some time, but he seems to be the one bright spot on this roster. That you can play fantasy wise. I mean, they're not going to score a lot of points, but he's getting the looks that you want for a running back. Cordell Patterson continues to look good for the Falcons. He was 14 for 54 on the ground. He gave me another 7 receptions for 60 yards, so he continues to be a weekly flex play for me. Mike Davis, he had a decent game, 13 carries for 53 yards and a touchdown. Finally, Kyle Pitts, he had his breakout game. He had 9 receptions for 119 yards and a touchdown on 10 targets. Now it does help that Russell Gage and Calvin Ridley were out, but Kyle Pitts. So I play in like 5 leagues and there's this one league that I'm in. It's a keeper league, but every year you can keep as many players as you want. So it's an auction league and you pick your players like any draft. Like we had our draft on Labor Day weekend. And you know, the thing is you pay for your players, just like any auction draft. But if you decide to keep those players, you keep as many players as you want. If you decide to keep those players the following year, you have to pay up 1 point, was a 1.5 times their amount that you drafted them for. So that's, you know, and the minimum is, so you pick up free agents, it's $5. You know, that's the minimum for anybody that you keep that's from free agency. Or if you get a player for like $1, the minimum is $5 that you have to pay for that player the next year. So if somebody had dropped Kyle Pitts, and so I lost Logan Thomas, and so I had picked up Dawson Knox, which I would have been fine playing last night, and I saw Kyle Pitts there. I'm like, what the heck? So that's why you always look at who gets dropped, because somebody will give up on a player. And I understand Kyle Pitts has not had a good season so far, but in a dynasty league that where you can keep that player, I mean, Kyle Pitts was a no-brainer. I picked him up for a very cheap cost and started him, and he blew up for my team. So very interesting to kind of see that, because that is why you always have to check who gets dropped, because some players like that will be getting frustrated for other owners and they'll drop them and then you pick them up and they blow up. I mean, that's what it is. But overall, good game for Kyle Pitts. Good to see that happen. All right, moving on to the Packers versus the Bengals. Boy, this was an ugly game. I mean, how many missed field goals was there? I mean, I think with Mason Crosby, He missed, what, three field goals, was it, overall? And then McPherson, the kicker for the Bengals, missed two or something like that. It was something crazy like that. So, like, Packers barely got out of this game, but they won 25-20. They won 25-22. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he had a decent game, 344 through the air with two touchdowns. Joe Burrow, you know, 281 and with two touchdowns, two interceptions. Aaron Jones, 14 carries on the ground for 103 yards. He did not have a rushing touchdown or a receiving touchdown. So A.J. Dillon had a pretty decent game fantasy-wise. Samaje Perine, he led in carries for 11 carries for 59 yards. Joe Mixon had 10 carries for 33 yards. You know, this is where, you know, Samaje Perine had the touchdown, you know, and he had the receiving touchdown. So I think, like, this is what is going to happen with Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon got the rushing touchdown, but he was not in for passing downs. That went to mostly Samaje Perine. But from the receiver standpoint, Devontae Adams, massive game from him. 11 catches for 206 yards and a touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase, 6 for 159 and a touchdown on 10 targets. So overall, I mean, this was a fun game to watch just based on the back and forth and just the missed field goals and just the anxiety of this game. But the Packers, I mean, no, this is not just the pushover Bengals anymore. I mean, Joe Burrow, he has like that look in his eye that he wants to go and win. He has the confidence that he can go out and win. So it was good to kind of see that. But the Bengals fall to 3-2. But I think they'll bounce back. And that's moving on to the Lions versus the Vikings. Man, this was a tough game if you're a Lions fan. I mean, there's what, three games so far this year that you guys almost won and lose in the last minute. I mean, they go down, DeAndre Swift gets his touchdown, and they're up by one, and they just couldn't keep it together, and they got the 2-point conversion. So they needed a field goal to win, the Vikings, and they went down, got the field goal, and they won the game. But, you know, not a lot going on with the quarterbacks this game. You know, really fantasy-wise, Alexander Mattison is kind of the bright spot. He had 25 carries for 113 yards. He had another reception for, you know, he had 7 receptions for 40 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets. I mean, me being a Dalvin Cook owner, it's like that could have been Dalvin Cook. But he wants to go off and get injured and not play. So it is what it is. But bright spots in this game. Justin Jefferson, he was 7 for 124 on 8 targets. Adam Thielen, really quiet game from Adam Thielen, 2 for 40. He started off the season really hot, and now things are kind of cooling off for him. But, you know, it's one of those things where he still continues to be a weekly starter because he does get a lot of the target share. And then on the Lions, what bright spots the Lions have, I mean, it's DeAndre Swift. I mean, DeAndre Swift was 11 for 51 and a touchdown on the ground. Then he gave you 6 catches for 53 yards. So from a PPR standpoint, good game from him. TJ Hockenson, 2 games in a row where he's just been bad. And then, you know, that happens when you're talented and they can just focus their attention on you. And just the overall, fantasy-wise, just not a lot of bright spots on this game. And I felt bad. I don't know if you watched the head coach for the Lions after the game, and he was distraught, like, night and day difference between what, like, that coach cares about his team, about his players, and seeing that level of emotion for a coach who wants it for their guys so bad to win, because the Lions have such a historical bad franchise and they just can't win games. You know, I think that the Lions are in really good hands with Campbell as their head coach. I think that, you know, he definitely, you know, he had a weird press conference at the beginning of the offseason when he got hired. And then you see him he wants it for his players. And I hope that the Lions can turn around. I mean, there's what, 3 games. They almost beat the 49ers. They almost beat the Vikings. And they almost beat the Ravens on that crazy 66-yard field from Justin Tucker. So, like, the Lions are there. They just have to kind of finish games out. But overall, you know, Vikings get the win. Let's move on to the Steelers versus the Broncos. This was, you know, the bright spots for this game. I think that Najee Harris finally had his first 100-yard rushing game. He had 23 carries for 122 yards and a touchdown. Cortland Sutton finally had a big game, 7 for 120 and a touchdown. Well, he had a big game a couple weeks ago, but he finally got his touchdown. He had 11 targets yesterday. Tim Patrick, you played him in PPR. He had a good game, 7 for 89. And then Chase Claypool, good game from him. He was 5 for 130 and a touchdown. And then Deontay Johnson, he used 2 for 72 and a touchdown. So Deontay Johnson got you his, he got the touchdown at the very beginning of the game. It was like a 50 yard strike. And the thing is like he only had 2 targets the whole rest of the game. You know, so Najee Harris had 5 targets, Chase Claypool had 6 targets. So I feel like Deontay Johnson, he's a good wide receiver. I think he's the best wide receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But his volume was very low. If he did not give you that touchdown yesterday, he had a dud game. But it happened. So if you played him, you're lucky that he at least got you that touchdown. But a player on this game, on the Broncos at this point, was Noah Fant. Noah Fant, you know, he's been pretty high up there with Cortland Sutton with target share. And he went 3 for 20 on 4 targets. I mean, the matchup, the Steelers, you know, they're not a bad defense. They're not, you know, a pushover defense. But to see him, you know, I had benched him for Dawson Knox, and I had a hard time with that. But I got to the point, I have on my roster, I got Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, and I have Javonte Williams. It has not been working out for me playing Sutton and Noah Fant. And so I picked up Dawson Knox, and I only have the capacity, mental capacity, to start one Broncos. Their offense is so just not fun, right? They're boring to watch. The volume is not there. I mean, I don't know. I feel like having so many Broncos on my team was a mistake, but I was trying to pick best player available at the time of the draft, that late of the draft. Javonte Williams was like my only like real target because of the upside that he has. And I honestly think, like, if you look at the stat line for Javonte Williams, he was 8 for 61, and then Melvin Gordon was 9 for 34. So in this game, Javonte Williams was averaging 7.6 carries he was averaging 7.6 yards per carry. Now, he gave you 3 receptions for 25 yards. I just don't understand the infatuation of why Melvin Gordon continues to get carries. I understand these Melvin Gordon, they paid for him. But it seems like Javonte Williams is the better runner. He's the better player. You saw what he did last week where he dragged like 5 defenders with him. Like, he's big, strong. He can catch the ball. Like, just give the ball to Javonte Williams. And now I'm saying this as a biased owner of Javonte Williams, but it's like, I feel like he is a guy that could take that workload, but it just shows you in the numbers that Javonte Williams continues to lead that backfield in yards per carry. And he just, I feel like in this part of his career, he's more talented than Melvin Gordon is, but you know, that's my opinion about that. But, let's move on to Washington versus the Saints. This was weird to me. Like, what it's weird to me about Washington right now, they were a dominant defense last year, and this year they are just not good. Like, I don't know what's going on with Washington. But they went from being just intimidating, be able to stop anybody, just low scoring games, and then you let Jameis Winston throw 4 touchdowns on you, like, and you allow that Hail Mary before the half. Like, I just don't understand what's going on with Washington. But the Saints got this win, 33-22. You know, like I was mentioning, Jameis Winston had a good game. He had 279 yards and 4 touchdowns with interception. Nice thing about this, he threw the ball 3 times. He only had a 50% completion rate, but you know, he was only averaging like 22 attempts per game. And finally, he got up to 30. Finally, they got Alvin Kamara. Kamara was, you know, finally got the 16 carries for 71 yards and a touchdown. And Alvin Kamara got 5 catches for 51 yards and a touchdown on 8 targets. This is the formula for the Saints for Alvin Kamara. This is what they need to do. They have to stop doing this where they, and I think a lot of it happened with Taysom Hill getting hurt. Hopefully he's healthy and he's fine. But like, this is why I don't like Taysom Hill and why they use Taysom Hill, because he's not as talented as Alvin Kamara, obviously. So Alvin Kamara is the better player, and he's more effective. And so when you play all this gadget crap with Taysom Hill, it takes away from a guy who's better in Alvin Kamara. So I think this is the formula for the Saints. It's always been the formula for Saints, is feeding Alvin Kamara, feeding Michael Thomas, you know. But when they want to do this cute stuff with Taysom Hill, it just gets annoying. And this is, you know, this is coming. I don't own Alvin Kamara in my main league, but I do own him in multiple leagues. And this is what you expect. You expect this type of game of Alvin Kamara because he's that talented. And on the other side, on another point, like, they don't have anybody to throw to. I mean, Marquez Callaway, he had 4 catches for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns on 8 targets. But like, it's not Michael Thomas. You know, I mean, Deontay Harris had one catch long bomb for a touchdown. But the offense is going to go through Alvin Kamara. So I think they just need it. The way they used him yesterday is the way he needs to be used every single game. And then moving on to Washington, Antonio Gibson, good game, 20 carries for 60 yards and two touchdowns. Bad game for Terry McLaurin. He only had four catches for 46 yards. He had 11 targets. I mean, he got shut down by Lattimore. You know, Adam Humphries was the guy who led with 73 yards with that, you know, with that offense. But just an overall just weird game for the for Washington. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, Curtis Samuel goes out with, you know, he's gonna be week to week again. He's re-injured I believe it was his groin. You know, J.D. McKissic, he wasn't really used much in the passing game, which is one of their focal points to do, is get him involved, and he wasn't involved. But, you know, credit to the Saints going into Washington and beating them. But I think that, you know, Washington doesn't get their defense figured out because they're just giving up a lot of points so far this year, which is uncharacteristic based on what we saw last year. All right, now going on to the Eagles versus the Panthers. The Eagles won this game 21-18. And honestly, I mean, I said it on my podcast for my last week for my starts and sits of the week. I said you should start Sam Darnold until he gives you a reason not to. And it happened. This game was the game that brought back down to earth about Sam Darnold. And if you played him, it sucks because he's been doing so good. He gave you enough sample size to feel like he can be consistent. And he just was a turnover machine yesterday. He had three interceptions. He only had one touchdown pass. Just overall bad game from him. Jalen Hurts didn't do much as a thrower on Sunday, but he hurt you on the ground. He had nine carries for 30 yards and two touchdowns. Miles Sanders, he continues I don't know what to say about Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders is a good running back, and he only gave you 11 carries for 45 yards, which he led the backfield, right? So it was nice that he finally led in carries, because Kenneth Gainwell only had two carries, but you know, Miles Sanders, I mean, he gave you five receptions for six yards, which is obviously not good. So he was used, but it just seems like he's just not effective. So not sure what's going on there, but for the Eagles, Devontae Smith, he led with seven catches for 77 yards, on Carolina's side of the ball. Chuba Hubbard looked good. He had over 100 yards rushing. He didn't give you a touchdown at all, but, he gave you decent stats on the ground. He gave you five catches for 33 yards. So I think as long as Christian McCaffrey's out, you can play Hubbard with some confidence. Bad game from DJ Moore. He was five for 42. But you don't blame DJ Moore for that. You blame Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's the one who facilitates the ball. And when you have a game like that, we only threw it for 177 yards on 37 attempts with three interceptions. You can't do nothing about that. So DJ Moore had a bad game, but that falls on Darnold more than anything else. And then moving on to the Titans versus the Jags. Overall, I mean, the Titans won this game 37-19. It's a quiet game from Ryan Tannehill, not much there. Trevor Lawrence, you know, he gave you a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. Derrick Henry, 29 carries for 130 yards and three touchdowns. I was going against Derrick Henry in my main league, and I was getting frustrated because he wasn't really having an awful game, but he wasn't having one of these blow-up games. And all of a sudden, I just see his score continue to go up and up and up. And, man, that was frustrating. But it was frustrating because my opponent had Derrick Henry and James Robinson, and both of them had really good games. But luckily enough, I was able to overcome that. But James Robinson continues to look good. 18 carries for 149 yards and a touchdown. You know, this was something I was saying early on when Travis Etienne went down. You know, it was like, okay, James Robinson, he's a clear RB, you know, he's going to be a fringe RB2, RB1 based on volume. And this is what you get when you get James Robinson involved. I mean, he's a good running back. He can catch the ball. So he continues to be a guy that you can start week in and week out. From the wide receiver standpoint, very quiet game. Not really anybody to really talk much about here. Other than Dan Arnold, the tight end for the Jags, he had six catches for 64 yards on eight targets. It was very, what was disappointing was that DJ Chark goes down, and then you expect the play for LaVisca Chenault and Marvin Jones to go up. They both only had one catch yesterday. I mean, that's kind of crazy to me. You know, Tavon Austin had five catches for 54 yards. I don't know. I just feel like that seemed off to me, but this is the Jags that we're talking about, so nothing seems to be, only thing that seems to be consistent right now is James Robinson. Moving on to the Patriots versus the Texans. This was a interesting game to me. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, I know they're kind of in a rebuild mode, but the Texans are not a good football team, and the Patriots barely won this game, 25-22. Mac Jones, I mean, he did okay. You know, he had 231 yards and a touchdown. Davis Mills, he looked good. It was what's crazy to me, Tom Brady. I understand Tom Brady played for the Patriots for 20-something years. Belichick knows all of his tendencies. But Davis Mills, you know, Tom Brady last week had no touchdowns against the Patriots. Davis Mills comes in, throws 21 for 29 for 312 yards and three touchdowns with no interceptions. That's crazy to me. Like, how does a guy who is considered the GOAT in Tom Brady not do anything, and then Davis Mills comes in there and throws three touchdown passes against the same defense? Now, maybe they didn't take them seriously. Maybe the game plan, who knows? You know, obviously, you know, it's different when you're talking about a rookie who doesn't have a lot on film, and so you really don't know his tendencies and all that stuff. But it was just interesting because Bill Belichick knows how to frustrate rookie quarterbacks. You saw what happened with Zach Wilson earlier in the year, and Davis Mills goes out there and does what he did. So kudos to him. When it comes to the running backs, not really much to talk about. I mean, Damian Harris, he had 14 carries for 58 yards and a touchdown. He did leave the game with a chest injury. I haven't seen anything today about the update of him and his health, but Ramondre Stevenson became the guy who led the backfield after that with 11 carries for 23 yards, so not very effective. But I had picked up Ramondre Stevenson before the games on Sunday. So this is what I did. So I try to find ways to improve my roster without having, I have no more fab left. And so Jeff Wilson Jr. was a guy that I've been targeting, but I needed to find a way to get him. We have two IR spots. I was trying to find a way to get him on my IR spot without having to drop somebody. So what happened was, with Dalvin Cook going to IR yesterday, or he was being out, I put him in my IR. So it gave me an opportunity to pick up Jeff Wilson, put him in my IR spot, my second IR spot, to have Cook and Wilson my IR spot. And then I picked up Stevenson just for a who knows what happens type of situation. And the Harris injury may not be nothing, but at least fab-wise, I have him on my roster, so I don't spend any fab. And then I feel like if Jeff Wilson Jr. comes back in November in a few weeks, I think he's the clear-cut starter for the 49ers. So I'm like, okay, I can get a starting running back, even though they distribute the ball evenly between amongst the running backs. I felt like that was a smart move for me to get a running back that potentially could be a starter and push me into the, you know, hopefully the playoff situation, a scenario where if I continue to kind of win games and get a win here and there, I feel like my roster will get stronger, and I think that was a smart thing to do. But, you know, Stevenson didn't look good. I mean, he only averaged 2.1 yards per carry. But I do think that, you know, he's a guy that if Harris misses any time, I think he becomes the starter. So and then going on to the wide receivers, I think that, you know, with this, what was interesting about this, Brandon Cooks, right? So Davis Mills throws for 312 yards. Brandon Cooks has been having a good season, and then he was 3 for 23. Very disappointing outcome from him yesterday. Chris Moore, he came in and had 5 catches for 109 yards and a touchdown, and then Chris Conley had 3 catches for 84 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, that's just the parody of the NFL, you know. On the New England side of the ball, Hunter Henry, he had a touchdown. He was 6 for 75 and a touchdown, 8 targets. And Jacoby Myers was 4 for 56 on 5 targets. So that's, you know, that's pretty much all the bright spots for that game. And then moving on to the Bears versus the Raiders. I guess we're kind of seeing who the Raiders are. I mean, I like the Raiders. I like watching them. But Derek Carr looked like just bad yesterday. I mean, he got beat up yesterday too, but just didn't look good. Justin Fields, he didn't look good. I mean, he had a touchdown pass, but I mean, it is what it is. He didn't look particularly awesome. Let's see, from the running back standpoint, this was interesting with the Chicago Bears. Like, Damien Williams was the starter, but they brought in Khalil Herbert. You know, Herbert got 18 carries for 75 yards, and then Damien Williams was 16 for 64. But difference is that Damien Williams got the touchdown, and Damien Williams was used more in the passing game. He only had 3 targets, but he gave you 2 for 20. So that's be something to monitor. I mean, I picked up Damien Williams because I needed a running back, but I don't know exactly how this is going to play out every week. I mean, I feel like if they're winning, then possibly Herbert is the guy that gets favored. But if Damian Williams is, you know, if they're down, if they're in a negative game script, I think that Damian Williams becomes a more effective guy. But that's going to be a wait to see approach. Josh Jacobs, he had a good game. He had 15 carries for 48 yards and a touchdown. He gave you 4 catches for 19 yards. So it's good to see him getting, you know, more involved in the passing game. Darnell Mooney had a big game last week, came back to earth this week. He was 3 for 35. Allen Robinson continues to be pretty ineffective. He was 4 for 32. Hunter Renfro, he led the Raiders with a 6 for 56 and 8 target line. Waller, very quiet game. He was 4 for 45. So not a lot going on in this game. You know, obviously the Raiders just had a bad game. Now they fall to 3-2. And there's a separation going on in that AFC West where Chargers are they're clear cut leaders in that division, especially with the Chiefs losing last night. So it's going to continue to be interesting how this all plays out. Moving on to probably the game. I feel like this was the game of the week. I mean, the back and forth of this game was ridiculous. This was the Browns versus the Chargers. You know, the storyline for here is Justin Herbert. That dude, he's so fun to watch. I mean, he threw almost for almost 400 yards. He had 4 touchdown passes and another rushing touchdown. And I was going against Justin Herbert in the same league I talk about all the time. I was going against Herbert, Derrick Henry, James Robinson. So like that's what I was dealing with. But the nice thing about it, I was able to counteract that because I have Mike Williams, and Mike Williams had a monster game, 8 for 165 and 2 touchdowns on 16 targets. Like, that is crazy to me. Keenan Allen, he was 6 for 75, only on 9 targets. So I don't know. Is Mike Williams the number one in LA? I mean, it seems like Justin Herbert loves throwing to Mike Williams, and Mike Williams continues just to just blow up. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch it on my roster. Like, you know, I had picked him up before the year started. I had dropped him, and then I got him back with Fab. But like, he was a guy that I had as a breakout this year, and I'm glad to see it happen. Austin Eckler, good game from him. 17 for 66 for 2 touchdowns. He gave you another 5 catches for 53 yards and a touchdown. It was interesting about this game, right? So like, if you had watched this game, you had seen that they were trying to run the clock out at the very end of the game. And Austin Eckler, there's one play that he slid, you know, at like the 1 yard line, trying to keep the clock running so the Browns would waste timeouts. And then he got the ball, he ran up the middle, and he just tried to stop. He didn't want to score a touchdown. But the Browns did the smart thing to save time. They pushed him into the end zone in order to save time, so they had enough time on the clock to try to come back and score a touchdown. So Austin, there was one touchdown Austin Eckler did not want, but the Browns gave it to him because they were trying to save time. For the Browns, though, I mean, you know, good game from Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb was 21 carries for 161 yards and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt gave you 12 carries for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then he gave you another 5 catches for 28 yards. And so, like, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are going to be startable assets every single week. Now, it just all depends what they do with those carries. So Nick Chubb had a 52-yard touchdown run, and that's what you want to see. You hate seeing Kareem Hunt vulture Chubb when they get down to the goal line, but they just run the ball enough where you can deal with that and start both of them. The only really, from the passing standpoint for the Browns, I mean, David Njoku, he was 7 for 149 at a touchdown. He had that 71-yard touchdown pass. He has 7 targets. OBJ, 2 for 20. I mean, if you have him on your roster, like, you play him, but, like, I don't know, at some point you're going to have to not play him and not be tempted to play him because he's not getting the job done. But very fun game to watch yesterday. And then let's go on to the Giants versus the Cowboys. Cowboys look good, man. I'm glad that we beat them the first game of the season, because if we had to play them right now, I don't know if we would beat them. So they beat the Giants 44 to 20. Like I had mentioned, this is, you know, the game that Saquon Barkley got injured and he was out pretty early in this game. But Dak looked great. You know, he had 3 touchdowns, touchdown passes. Then, you know, he just continues to look great. He continues to get confidence in that foot and ankle. It doesn't seem like it's bothering him. It was like a year to date yesterday that he broke his ankle. And just, it's nice to see some, like, Dak Prescott succeed and do well. It's always fun to see guys that are that got injured the season before come out and do, you know, awesome this year. And so good game from him. Daniel Jones got knocked out of this game early with a concussion. Hopefully he's okay. When Saquon went out, Devontae Booker was the lead back. He had 16 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown. So he obviously is going to be one of the top waiver wire pickups for tomorrow, but I'll talk about that later on. I'll be talking about that tomorrow in my podcast. Zeke looked good. 21 carries for 110 yards and a touchdown. He also gave you a receiving touchdown. So Zeke looked like old Zeke. Hopefully that continues. But Tony Pollard, 14 carries for 75 yards. CeeDee Lamb did good yesterday, 4 for 84 and a touchdown. Amari Cooper gave you a touchdown. Dalton Schultz continues to be consistent with six catches and 79 yards on 8 targets. But what was fun about this game was seeing Kadarius Toney, 10 catches for 189 yards, and he didn't have a touchdown, but he had 13 targets. I mean, Galladay went out with the injury, he had 3 targets, but he did nothing with that. You know, but Toney was the guy that he just looked really, you know, just he looked good. I mean, very shifty. He made a bad decision on punching the player at the end of the game. But what's nice about this, I hope that when Darius Slayton comes back and Sterling Shepard, that they continue to use Toney and can give him the ball because he's electric. I mean, I didn't watch him much in college, but to see him play yesterday, it was like, man, this guy, he's good. So hopefully he'll be able to not get suspended and continue on with that. But good game from him. And then moving on to the Cardinals versus the 49ers. Kind of quiet game. I mean, nothing really a lot going on here. This was with Trey Lance's first career start. Looked like a rookie. Didn't really do much for you. He was better. Seemed like he was a better runner than he was a passer yesterday. Kyler Murray, quiet game from him. Only gave you one touchdown. Overall, he didn't have a rushing touchdown yesterday. Elijah Mitchell, he was 9 for 43. Trey Sermon only had one carry. So I feel like, that's why I mentioned Jeff Wilson Jr. I feel like Kyle Shanahan trusts him more. So if he does come back, now there's no guarantee he's going to come back, but I picked him up just in case, because he's just sitting on my IR spot. He's not taking up a bench spot. But I just feel like Trey Sermon's talented, but they're not using him. And they let Trey Lance carry 16 times. So like, where's the trust? I don't get it. Very interesting kind of see that. If you had picked him up early in the season with Fab and you play him, like, you're disappointed in that. Not too much going on the Cardinals side of the ball when it comes to rushing the ball. I mean, Connor continued to give you your goal line touchdown. Chase Edmonds was quiet. Rondale Moore led in yards with the Arizona Cardinals for 38 yards. Wide receiver standpoint, Deebo Samuel came back to earth a little bit. He had 3 catches for 58 yards. DeAndre Hopkins, he was 6 for 87 and one touchdown on 9 targets. Rondale Moore, he was 5 for 59 on 6 targets. And Christian Kirk was 5 for 39 on 5 targets. So PPR standpoint, the only one that really did well for you was probably obviously DeAndre Hopkins and Rondale Moore. But overall, I mean, just a very quiet fantasy game. And then let's move on to the last game of the day. This is going to be the Bills versus the Chiefs. There was a long rain delay, but the Bills won this game 38-20. I actually chose the Bills this week. I have a client that I work with, and we always make weekly bets. So we always choose like 3 games a piece, and then we have a tiebreaker game. And this was the tiebreaker game where I picked the Bills over the Chiefs. And I'm biased because I have Josh Allen on my fantasy roster and Stephon Diggs and Dawson Knox. So I'm biased to it. But like, I just felt like the Chiefs have not looked the same this year. And the Bills, even though they looked bad the first week against the Steelers, I think they are the best team in the AFC, to be honest with you. And maybe the best team overall in football. But this was a fun game because Josh Allen is incredible. Like, I knew that he was good, but now that I have him on my fantasy roster, I watch the Bills games more. And he's just fun to watch. Strong arm. Agile. You saw him jump over defender last night, but he gave you about 40 fantasy points last night. So big game from him. Patrick Mahomes, he looked average. I mean, he threw the ball 54 times. He gave you 2 touchdowns, but he didn't kill you like yesterday. But still, you're not really used to seeing them. Not he usually scores like he usually I think he's on average this year. He's been throwing 3 touchdowns per game. So overall, kind of quiet for the Chiefs this last night. Josh Allen, he led in rushing. He was 11 carries for 59 yards and a touchdown. So he had 4 total touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, he led. It was funny how both quarterbacks led their teams in rushes and rushing yards with Mahomes gained 61 yards. And then, you know, after Clyde Edwards-Helaire got injured, I mean, you saw Jarrell Williams be the guy that was getting the ball. Jarrett McKinnon was being used a little bit more than I've seen him get used. But that backfield, I think it's going to be Jarrell Williams' backfield until Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back, with a mixture of like Jarrett McKinnon and then also Tyreek Hill being used in reverses and all that stuff. But from the wide receiver standpoint, what's interesting, I don't think I've ever seen this before. Mecole Hardman led the Chiefs with 9 catches for 76 yards on 12 targets. Then you follow that with Tyreek Hill with 7 for 63 on 13. And Travis Kelce was 6 for 57 and a touchdown on 10 targets. So Kelce gets you your touchdown. On the Bills side of the ball, Dawson Knox, he led the Bills with 3 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, you know, it's a quiet game with him. I'll talk about him a little bit later. But Stephon Diggs used 2 for 69 on 5 targets. Emmanuel Sanders, he continues to be the most productive wide receiver right now. He was 3 for 54 on 2 touch and 2 touch on 5 targets. Like, my main team, I do have Josh Allen, I have Dawson Knox, I have Stephon Diggs, and I have Emmanuel Sanders on my bench. You know, so like, I'm going to be very tempted just to play all 4 of them because of how high power offense that is. It's like, it's better than me playing a Cortland Sutton, Javonte Williams, and Noah Fant combo, right? I mean, that's why I have them on my roster too. And I'd rather just go ahead and just like, you know what? Worst comes to worst, I can just play 4 Bills and probably get decent production out of them, right? So I think there was a stat I saw on Twitter was that if you only played Chargers, all your whole roster was just full of Chargers, you would score like 157.2 fantasy points yesterday. So like, that's crazy. That one team can get you almost 160 points from a fantasy standpoint, depending on your roster structure and your score structure and all that stuff. But honestly, I think the Bills, this was a prove it game for the Bills that they can go out and play the Chiefs and not feel like intimidated or anything like that. This was an Arrowhead, so it was a home game for the Chiefs, one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL, and the Bills just routed them 38-20. So good for them. So those are all my reactions for week 5. And now I'm gonna move on to my most impressive players for my 5 most impressive players for week five. And honestly, it's the top guy is Justin Herbert. You know, they said he almost had 400 yards passing, 4 touchdowns through the air and 1 on the ground. Tom Brady, 411 yards, 5 touchdowns. First time in his career that he's thrown for over 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, 315 yards, 3 touchdowns. Gave you 159 yards on the ground with another rushing touchdown. Mike Williams, 8 receptions for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns. Davante Adams, 11 for 206 and a touchdown. And I will give honorable mention, and I'll give this to Myles Gaskin because, you know, Myles Gaskin, he had 10 catches for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, he was dropped in a lot of leagues last week. I'm one of them who dropped him, and he got picked up by another one of my league mates. But, you know, I don't know how much this will carry on throughout the year. I think this was probably, you know, if you're going to have Myles Gaskin, you might want to trade high, like sell high on him because of the production. But like, he had a good game. I'm giving him credit because I dropped him. I didn't have any faith in him. And then he had a good game. So kudos to him for having a good game and being productive against a Bucs defense like that. So those are my 5 most impressive. Now my 5 most disappointing, you know, starting at the quarterback position, Sam Darnold, you know, bad game. It was bound to happen. But just a bad game from him. Hopefully he bounced back. Derek Carr is my 2nd quarterback that had just on my disappointing list. He started off the season hot, has not been the same since then. So hopefully he gets it figured out. I like Derek Carr, but just a bad game from him. From the wide receiver standpoint, I'm going to go with Adam Thielen. You know, he's been pretty good in the beginning of the season, and then he hasn't been really, you know, done much, you know, since then. So he's on my most disappointing list. Same with Stephon Diggs. He's on my roster. He's frustrating to own right now because I know the potential that he has. And the fact that Josh Allen is throwing the ball like he is, he's just throwing to everybody. And Stephon Diggs has not been the guy that gained the touchdowns. It's been everyone else. So another, this is the second week in a row he's on my most disappointing list. And then my last guy on this list is TJ Hockenson. He started off the season great. He's been awful since then, you know, the last 2 weeks. So hopefully they can get this thing figured out, but he's definitely on my most disappointing list. So those are my five most impressive, five most disappointing. And so that leaves us with this. We have a Monday Night Football game. We got the Colts versus the Ravens. What do y'all need to win this game tonight? Because I know there's what Jonathan Taylor's going. We got Lamar Jackson. We got Marquise Brown. We don't know exactly who's going to be running back for the Ravens, but hopefully your game's already been decided if you have to win or lose, that you're not relying on a huge game from Jonathan Taylor or a huge game from Lamar Jackson, that are you able to, you know, just kind of watch this game in comfort and just enjoy it. But that's the game tonight. But that's it for today for the reaction show. If you have any fantasy football questions, just please message me on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. If you like to follow us on other platforms, we are at the Gridiron Pod on Facebook and Twitter. But I will be back tomorrow for my top waiver wire pickups for week 6. You know, based on the list I looked at initially from the guys I've kind of put on my list to talk about tomorrow, I feel like there's going to be a lot of short-term rentals. I don't think there's a lot of guys that you're going to pick up that are going to be league winners, or guys that are going to, you know, have for multiple weeks. I think they're just kind of filling guys. So you got to determine if you really want to use that fab on those guys based on who you own. But that'll be on tomorrow. So, you know, thank you so much for listening today. Please like, comment, and share the podcast and just, you know, help us grow. But like I said, we'll be back tomorrow. Take care. And I hope that you guys win tonight. Hopefully you're able to get that win. If you're relying on some of these guys that are playing tonight, hopefully you're able to come up with that win. So good luck, and we'll see you tomorrow.